Daf is Daf Kuf Hey. Gemara says around 8 lines down, the two dots on the top. Gemara says, Chus mi pachas shaputa bekarim. So if the Nigzal says, I'm mochon everything except I want a small pruta, at least give me a pruta, so then the halacha was, you don't have to chase him down. So Amar Papa says, Lo shanu elashen gzela kayemes. That's only true, you don't have to chase down the Nigzal to pay him back if the gzela is no longer bend, it's no longer available intact. But if the gzela is still around, even though he was mochel, tzarech leilich achrav, you have to run after him. Chashinan shemat yaka, we're concerned perhaps that the object will go up in value and then you're going to owe money. Fine. Ikadami, others say, Amar Papa, loshna gzela kayemes, loshna she'in gzela kayemes. No difference whether he has the actual object or doesn't have the actual object. Eino tzarech leilich achrav, he does not need to chase down the nigzal. The Shema Tiyakar Lo Chashinan. We're not concerned that the object might appreciate in value, and therefore there's no need to chase him down in either way. Gemara quotes now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Gazal Shalosh Agudos B'Shalosh Prutos. A guy steals three bundles of vegetables, and they're worth a total of three prutas. That means each one's a pruta. V'huzlu, now they go down in price. V'amdu al shtayim. So now three agudos are really only worth two prutos when he has to return the money after stealing them. If he returns two of the agudos, he's chayv lahach shelo acheres. He has to return the third one. Now, even though the third one is now less than a pruta, we go based on shas gzela. And shas gzela, each one was worth a pruta, so he therefore has to return it, the third aguda. The Tana Tuna, the Brisa, comes as a support. Gazel chametz vavar lava pesach. The guy steals chametz, and now pesach comes. So now we know all of chametz is usher. Omer lo, so you say to the nigzal, Hare shel chalofanecha, here's your chametz. Even though it's aser, you still return since it's the actual chavtza. Time at the isabein, only because the chametz is still be'en, it's still intact, you return the object, the chametz. Halesa be'en, if it's not be'en anymore, afagav the hashil amamona, even though now it's not worth anything anymore because the chametz is aser behana, kiven dimikara mamona hu by shlomo. Since it was worth something when he stole the chametz, so he needs to pay back now money in place of that. So halchanami here too as well. Afagav the hashilo shavapruti. Now, even though now that third aguda is worth less than a pruta, but kevan dimikara havi shavapruta. Since initially it was worth a pruta, b'shasa gzela by shlomo, you have to pay back. So we see again here that they go based on shas gzela, and he would have to return back the aguda. By Rava, Rava asks the question, Gazel shtei agudos bepruta, v'hichter lo achas man mahu. He steals two agudos, and at the time of the gazela, it was worth one. One pruta for the total of two. That means each aguda was a half a pruta. And he returns one aguda, so now he owes him one more, but that one more is only worth half a pruta, which we said, pachas mishar pruta, you don't have to return. So what's the din? Mahu. Miar minan, do we say, hashta leka gazela? Now, he doesn't have a gazela. He returned half it, so all he has left is a half a pruta, that's worthless, so therefore he's no obligation to return anything. Or, dimu we say, halo hadar gzela, david gabe. Or maybe we say, he didn't return the gzela, he still has the guy's guta there. So do we go based on, the value, or based on the object, it seems? It's not worth anything, but the object of his is still in my possession. So how the pasche, so he ended up answering his own question. He says, gzela inkan, hashava inkan. There is no gzela, but there is no hashava either. So what does that mean? E gzela inkan hashava yeshkan. If there is no gzela, that means he returned the hashava. If he has no gzela left in his possession, that means he accomplished what he needed to accomplish. He did a hashava by returning one of them. So what the Gemara says, halchi kamar, afa pi she gzela inkan mitzvas hashava inkan. You're right. Even though he doesn't have the obligation, there's no gzela in his possession anymore, he still hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of hashava either. So you can have a case where the guy undid his gzela, he returned his gzela, but did not fulfill the mitzvah of hashava either. It's somehow in the middle.
And even if he gives back the second item now, he's not getting his mitzvah hashava because he did it in half pruta increments?
That's what it sounds like, because in order to have a hashava, a nesina has to be the shava pruta. So since he broke it up, it seemed that it wouldn't be connected. But I imagine that's a machlokas Rishonim. I'm just guessing. That point, whether you could be mitzarif the two different hashavas together. Look at Tosos for a second. Mitzvah hashava inkan nire dilo bay lemivshet. He doesn't want to answer elo dilo ma'akev mitzvah hashava Umitzvah Hashava Miha Lokayim. Sounds like he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. It doesn't seem to be the point.
The Gemara is not answering to whether he's right to return. Right. Just answering whether he got the mitzvah.
Okay, there seems to be some discussion down here. The Rush seems to say, I'm not sure exactly, but I imagine that point would be if he does return it, that second item, I'm guessing it's a machlokas rishon whether he fulfills that obligation, whether he mitzarif the two nesinos or not. Then another statement of Rava, Amar Rava, Hare Amru Nazir Shegilach Vishar Shtei Saros Lo Asav Lo Klum. A Nazir who shaves his hair, the mitzvah, when he's finished mitzvah of shaving his hair after he's done with the Naziris, if he leaves over two hairs, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Gilach. So by Rava, now in light of that statement, Rava asks, Gilach Echad V'Nishra Achas. But let's say the last two, he plucks one of them out, or shaves one of them, and the other one he leaves. Mahu, what's the halacha now? So Amar Le Rav Acha Medifti Le Ravina, Nazir Shegilach Achas, coming by Le Rava. Is he asking about cutting one hair at a time? You do one hair, one, it'll take a long time, obviously, but shave one hair at a time. Is that his shaila? Is that going to be a mitzvah giluch or not? Is that really the shaila? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Amar Le Rav Acha Le Ravina, Nazir Shegilach, Kol HaSaros Achas Achas Kimi Baile. He just shaves one hair at a time. Bitmiya. Klomer ma havada giluach havi. That certainly is giluach. Kevin shebesha shebali galeach hai shir ave by shir giluach vigiluach achas. That when he's coming to shave the hair, so that whatever's remaining, he has enough shir to perform the mitzvah of giluach. Vafal pi denisha shnia giluachu. So that can't be the shaila. Doing one at a time certainly does qualify as giluach. So what's he saying here? What's his question? So Amar Lei. So, wait a second. There's not enough of a shir giluch. Why not? If there's two left.
There's only two. One fell off, and then he just cut the other one.
And therefore, he's. So that's the point. If one falls off, then. If he left two, so certainly he's going, and he cuts one of them off, he's certainly going to get a mitzvah. He leaves two, and then one falls off, and he cuts the other one. Do we say, Mi'am Rinan Hashta Mi'ah HaLekashir? When he did the Giluach, there's only one left standing, so he didn't get the mitzvah. He missed out.
So if you have two hairs, right, that's called Giluach, two.
If you have, exactly. You have two. You shaved everything, left two, so you didn't get the mitzvah Giluach since you left over two. But you have two more now to do,
what
and you'll
you
get the mitzvah.
What if you just grew two hairs.
It sounds like that would be, that's enough.
Sheer.
But one falls off now you do Giluach, is that going to be the mitzvah? So since we said the moment he did Giluach, there's only one left, it won't be the mitzvah. Old Dilmer, perhaps we say, Ha lav Giluachu, Dimikara Hashayar Shtei Saros, V'hasha Ki Giluach Lo Havi Shtei Saros. Wait a second, let me misread that.
No, because one of them fell off.
But we're saying either both stadim here.
Because one of them fell off before.
No, but both stadim are saying it's not a mitzvah skiluach though.
Maybe the first one's saying wipe the shear and therefore you don't have to do anything.
Let's see.
You're right.
So maybe the fact that it fell out, now your initial limafreya, your mitzvah giluach was good because you left over only one hair in essence. That's the point. Oh, yeah, we'll see in a second. I think Tosas addresses that point. But that's the point.
Because the finished product is bold.
Right. Yeah.
It didn't leave anything.
So even
one
though you left two, but the fact that one fell off now...
And then you cut the last one.
Right, as long as there's no longer an obligation to do shaving, that means you've completed your obligation. Yeah, it seems to be also very important to understand is the mitzvah of the maisa giluach or being...
Bald.
Bald, whatever the... So that seems to be the shaila here. So, again, I'll read that one more time. Al dilma halav giluach, or maybe it's not giluach, demikara... Because when he did the mice initially, Hashayah Shtei Saros, he left over two. Said that wasn't a good mitzvah. And Hasha now, Ki Gilach Lo Havi Be Saros. There's no mice Gilach anymore. So it seems like the Stadim is about mice versus Totsa. So Hadar Pasha, but then he answered the question, Seyar Ein Kan, Gilach Ein Kan. If there's no hair, there's no Gilach. What does that mean? E Seyar Ein Kan, Gilach Yesh Kan. If there's no Seyar, that means he did the mitzvah of Giluach. He accomplished what he needed to accomplish. So he answers it like we said above, Halchi Kamar. Afa Pisha Seyar Einkan, mitzvah Giluach Einkan. Even though there is no hair to shave anymore, he didn't perform the mitzvah either because you need the Maisa Giluach, it sounds like. In light of Andy's question, so what's the whole idea? So you didn't get the mitzvah Giluach, you missed out. The Tosas writes, mitzvah Giluach Einkan, Ume'akev Milishos Yain Matam the Mesim. Kilu Lo Giluach. Fascinating. Now this guy's stuck forever, it sounds. He can't eat, he can't drink wine, he can't be metame, because you need the mitzvah giluach.
Yeah, you just wait until he grows hair again.
So that maybe that's the question. Maybe grow the hair back again, maybe, and then maybe you could cut it. That would be the way around, perhaps. Kolomar, kiman damar giluach ma'akev. You hold that giluach's ma'akev from eating. The acher yishter nazir yain, acher kulam, after everything's done, and he didn't do the mitzvah giluach. Or inami, alternatively, is l'inyan mitzvah kamar. The lokai mitzvah giluach. But in the chanami, he could drink wine and mitami mesim. So, okay. Fine. Gemara now says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hare amru chavish shenikva v'sasmu shmarim. You have a barrel of wine, and it ends up making a hole in there, referring to a tumah. If a person, rather, if there's a barrel in the same oil as a tumas mace, so we know a tumas mace is mitami everything that's in there. But if, let's say, the food is protected and covered within its own ohel, and that serves as a chatzitza, so then the tumas mace won't penetrate into the chavis. But let's say there's a hole in the chavis now, it will penetrate. But even though there's a hole, the shmarm, the different sediment, ends up closing up that hole. So the Gemara says, Rava holds, hitzilua, that shmarm is strong enough to seal the hole and protect the wine inside. So by Rava asks now, agaf chetzio mahu, let's say there's a hole, and the hole has to be big enough size for the tumah to come in, whatever that size is. Let's say it closed up only halfway. So now you'll have the hole is too small. So what's the dinu? Mahu, what's the lacha? Do we say, since the hole wasn't completely closed up, so therefore we view it as there being a hole, and it's going to come through? Or no, since we say now, right now, the hole is too small, so the tumah can't get in. So Amar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi, Lav Mishnah Seinu Huizu? Is this not a Mishnah? The Mishnah tells us Chavis Shenikva V'Sasmu Shmarim Hitzilua. The first Mishnah about the point of the Shmarim, the sediment can close it up. Pakaka Bismora Ad Shimrach. Let's say you cover it up with some type of leaves. So then the leaves are not very stable. The wind could blow. They can move around. Ad Shimrach. You have to smear it on in such a way where it's sealed on top. But if it's just placed on top, that doesn't work. Hayuba shtayim, if there are two leaves, ad shimrach minat stadim ubein havizmora, lechaverta. Let's say you place two leaves on top of the hole, so you have to glue it between the two leaves and also on the outer part, so it stays set. So Gemara says, learn from this Mishnah, taima demarach, only because you had smeared it and glued it nicely. Halomar, but if you didn't, you just placed the leaves on top of the hole, lo, it doesn't work, it's not a good chatzitza. Amai, why not? Veteve ki agav chetzi. Let it be like closing up half the hole. By placing them up at stage one and gluing them at stage two. So you did stage one. So the fact is that we see half a close is not considered good. So Gemara says that's not a riot from the Mishnah. Amri hachi hashta hasam over there, ilo marach lokai. But if you place the leaves on, it's not going to stay at all. It's going to just blow away in a second. It's as if nothing was done. Agaf Chetzio, if you seal up half of it, that's permanent. That seal is at least half closed. The leaves on top, just placing them on top, is viewed as absolutely nothing. That's why it doesn't work. But it's possible if you put a leaf on half of it and closed and sealed it, maybe it would work to protect the food and wine inside. Okay, Amar Rava now. Rava says another statement. Hare Amru. It says that Gazel Chametz, we learned in the Mishnah, if a person steals Chametz, V'avar Lava Pesach, and now it becomes Aser. Omer lo, we say to the nigzal, Hare shel chalfanecha, here's your chametz back. So in light of this, Ba'i Rav, Rav asks the following question, going on to Amud Beis now. Ba'i Rav, nishba alav mahu. Let's say you take a shvua on this, what's the halacha? Says Rashi in the top here, nishba alav la'acha shenesar, nishba she'ein etzlo v'lo gazlo bimenu. So the guy steals chametz, and Pesach comes, and the guy says, I want my chametz back. He says, I don't have it. I swear I don't have the chametz here. So he takes a shvua, and then he ends up admitting to it. So we know the halacha normally is, when a shvua shek, you have to come back and you have to pay the chomesh, keren chomesh, and asham. So here he's taking a shvua on something that's asr b'hana. Shvua can only be chal on something that's davar mamun, that has value to it. But this doesn't have value to it. So what's halacha now? Mahu, Gemara asks. Mi Amrian, do we say Kevan di Mignava by Shlumele Mamona Kakafele? So do we say if this chametz, even though it's aser, if it gets stolen while it's in my possession, I'm the gazlan. If it gets stolen, I need to pay for it. So therefore, even though it doesn't have real hana to it, it has the ability to cause me a loss. Because if I don't return the chametz, I'll have to pay out of pocket. So it's considered mamon, and the shvua is chal on this. Or perhaps do we say, hasha, look at the now. Hasha mias hamanach v'afar ba'almo. This is nothing more than dirt. It's worthless. And it's like taking a shvua and afar, which isn't a chal. So what's a v'lo kafar lo mamona? Milsa. And he wasn't being kofar in any money. A mamona. So that's the shaila. Do we look at the now, that right now it's afar, or do we look at the ability, if I don't pay back the chametz, it's going to cause me a loss out of pocket to pay back. So Gemara says, Milsa di bari le rava, pshiti le rabba. That which Rava was unsure about was clear to Rava. What's Rava? The Amar Rava, Shori ganafta v'hu amar la ganafti. The guy says, you stole my shore, and he says, I didn't steal anything. So mati v'etzlecha, so what are you doing with my shore? It clearly says my name on the back of it. How do you have my shore? So he says, Shomer Chinam ani alav. You gave me to watch over. It's a Shomer Chinam. That's why it's in my backyard. So he's chayiv in that case to pay for such a shvua. Why? So look at Rashi for a second. Rashi just explains here, three lines from the top here. Shomer Chinam ani alav. V'nishba v'hota. The guy took a shvua. I swear I'm a Shomer Chinam. Then he admitted, okay, I lied. So chayiv carbon shvua. He has to pay a carbon shvua. Afa pisha hoda kodem shvua. Beguf hamamun. So even though he admits prior to taking a shvua on the actual money, he has to pay. Why? Because Rashi explains, Chayiv sharei pater atzma b'shvua megneva veda. That's actually, to go back to the Gemara for a second. Chayiv, he has to pay sharei pater atzma megneva veda. Says Rashi, what does this mean? Megneva veda. Since he claimed that he was a shomer chinam, shem haya nignav mimenu mishvua. The Eilach Hayaniftar b'divrei sheker, sherei huatmo ganvo. He really is a ganav. V'chayev v'chalonson ad sheyach zirenu. So I stole the cow. Now me as a ganav or a gazlan, if anything happens to this cow, even if it's onus, I have to pay back the amount of $1,000 it cost to buy a cow. But if I'm a shomer chinam, if it gets stolen from me, I'm actually pater. So either way, I need to pay as a ganav and as a shomer chinam. I need to return back this cow to you. But I'm actually putting myself in a better situation by saying I'm a shomer chinam. I'm actually I'm protecting myself if it gets stolen from me. As opposed to if I was just a ganav, then I have to pay if it was stolen from me. So by me taking the shvua, I'm potentially protecting myself. It didn't necessarily happen that way, but the shvua itself potentially saves me from having to pay if it was a ganeva. So that's why you have to pay. The shvua sheker does have some effect. Or the Gemara says, I claim that I'm a shomer sachar. You hired me to watch your animal. Shomer sachar ani alav. That too also, since he went from a ganav and took a shvua that he's a shomer sachar, he's also chayiv to pay for the shvua if he admits. Why? Sharei pater asma mishvura umesa. Because if the cow were to break its leg or die, I would have to pay. I'm pater from paying rather as a shomer sachar. As opposed to if I was a ganav, I'd have to pay in every circumstance. Or let's say the guy says, you know why the cow's in my backyard? Shoel ani alav. I'm borrowing it from you. Remember, you lent it to me? I swear, you lent it to me. He's also chayiv in that case of a shua sheker. Sharei pater asma mimesim and machmas melacha. Because let's say the shoel was being, I was borrowing the cow and it died while doing regular work. I'd be pater from paying. As opposed to if I was a ganav and I used your cow, I'd be chayiv to pay if he died machmas melacha. So all these circumstances, if you take the shvua to bring yourself lower, to put yourself in a better position financially, you have to pay for lying for such a shvua sheker. Alma, we see from all of this though, Alma afa gav de hakayim, even though the animal is still alive, it's intact, kevin de mignav mamona kakafar, since if it were to be stolen, it's considered money, hashanami mamona kakafar. Now also it's viewed as mamon. So hachnami, so to hear by the chametz. Afa gav d'afra ba'alma, who even though it's really nothing, it's dirt. Kevin di mignav bai shlumi, since if it were to get stolen, the chametz from me, shlumi bai shlumi, I need to pay mamona malya hashanami mamona kakafrele. Therefore I have to pay it back. So again, the case of the cow, I took a shvua that I'm not a ganav, I'm a shomer sachar. And Lamaisa, I don't have to pay anything. I just return the cow. So I'm not taking a shua. I'm taking a shua in case it gets stolen, which didn't happen. But that in case it gets stolen is considered enough of a mamon for me to, for the shua to be chal. So too by the case of chametz. Even though right now the chametz here, I could just return the chametz to you. I don't have to pay any money. Since it is a possibility that if the chametz gets stolen, I have to pay money out of pocket. That's enough mamon. It's considered enough money. It's enough to be considered a shua to be chal on the chametz. And I'd have to pay for taking a shua sheker. What?
It seems rachik.
Well, again, it's stavar goring the mamon. Since it can potentially cause a loss of money to me, that's enough to have the shua being chal. Okay. Gemara now says two wide lines down. Yosef Rava was sitting. Some say it was Rabba was sitting. The Kamerla Shmaisa. He was talking about this sugi we just discussed. And ACA Rav Amram the Rava, Rav Amram challenged him from the following brisa. The pasuk says v'chichesh ba. The entire pasuk is where the guy denies having an aveda. The pasuk says in the end of Parshas Vayikra, oh matza aveda, you find an aveda v'chichesh ba. You say, ah, no, I don't have any aveda. It's not mine. It's not in my possession. V'nishva, I swear it's not mine. He nishva l'ashek, he lies. Then he has to pay a chatas for making a shua sheker for denying having the aveda. So Rav Amram is medayik, or he brings a medjish. V'chichesh ba, he denies it. Prat lemod beker. But if the guy admits to having it, so then he doesn't have to take a shua sheker. Only if you deny not having it at all. What does this mean? Kate said, how do you admit to it? Shari ganafta, the guy says, you stole my shore. V'hu omer, lo ganafti, I didn't steal it. So mati ve'etzlecha, what's he doing in your backyard? Atem achartili, you sold it to me. Atanasatili, you gave it to me. B'matana, as a present. Avicha machali, your father sold it to me. Avicha nasnali, he gave it to me as a present. Or acha parasi rats, he was chasing after my male of. My cow's running to the backyard, and your cow just followed my cow to the backyard. I didn't take him. Abaitli, it came next to me. Toeb b'derech matasav, I found it just wandering along the path. Shomer chinamani alav, you asked me to watch it for you. Shomer sachani alav, you hired me to watch it. Shoel ani alav, I'm borrowing from you. All these circumstances, he claims there's some reason why I got to my backyard. He doesn't deny it. He admits that I got to me somehow. V'nishma, he takes a shvua in all these cases. Behold, then he admits to lying. Yachol yehechai, one might think you should be chai v'shvua sheker in this case. Tamalomer kicheshba, only if you deny it, you say, I don't have anything in my backyard. That's the only time where you pay a carbon shvua. Prat lamod beikar, but if you admit to having it, but you came to you in some other way, not that you stole it, but some heter way, then you actually don't have to pay, bring a carbon, even though you took a shvua sheker. Why not? We said above, if the guy says, what do you mean? I didn't steal it. I took a shvua. I'm a shomer sachar. I'm a shomer chinam. We say, in that case, you are chai v'shvua sheker. He here says, you're pater from the carbon shvua sheker. What's the difference of the two brises? The Gemara says, Amr Leh, you guys with me on this kasha? Amr Leh, Tadura. What does Tadura mean? So Rashi says, Tadura means, where did Rashi go? Ein Leh. It doesn't make any sense. How are you connecting these two brises? They're obviously talking about two different scenarios here. Kitanya hahi de kamale helach, ki kamana de kaima b'agam. The case where you're pata from the shua is the animal's right here, the cow's right here. You say, here's a cow. I'm taking a shua that I was a shomer chinam. I was lost in the derech. I'm returning the animal to you, so I'm not really denying anything from you, and that's why I'm pata. So there's no concern of it possibly getting lost and me having to be protected from losing any money. It's right here, so that's when you're pata from the shua sheker. But if the cow is somewhere out in my backyard, and I've got hundreds of acres in my backyard, it's somewhere lost around there, I take a shua. What do you mean? I didn't steal it from you. You gave it to me to watch over. So then there's a possibility, by the time I get the animal, maybe it gets stolen. So in that interim, I'm potentially protected from anything being lost. So since I'm saving myself from some level of mamon, then the shua is chal on the mamon. And when I admit to the shua sheker, I would have to pay the carbon shvua. That's the difference between the two brises. Guys, still with me? Good. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Want to analyze that brisa we've mentioned above? Atam achartili my modabiker. The guy says you sold it to me. What's he being modabiker? He's agreeing that the guy is no shaychistid anymore. That's not being modabiker. You sold it to me. It's all mine. You have no claim on me anymore. So Gemara says lo tzicha damrle lo nesate lecha dmei. I didn't pay the money back. You gave me the cow. We made a deal. You gave me the cow. I owe you $1,000 now for the cow. You know what he says? Shakel torcha vizil. You know, go take your cow and go. That's it. Instead of, so he has a taina on me. He has a taina that I didn't pay the money yet. So since he has a taina, so I could just return the cow to him and shine. Or the case of ata nasati li avicha. You gave it to me, or avicha nasna li, or your father gave it to me. My modbik, or what am I admitting to there? There I'm saying that I own the animal entirely to my own. It's my own now. So ika damar ika. So damar le, he says, almanas davin lecha nayach nafshe. So he says, I'm giving it to you, this cow, on condition that you do for me something very nice. V'lo avdi lecha, and you didn't do anything for me. So he says, shakil torcha, vizil, take your cow and go. So all these cases is where the owner, the initial owner, has some taina on the gazlan. Or it was toa b'derech matasif. So what's the case where the cow is wandering along the way? So he says, lema ibaylecha la durli. The guy should have said, you should have returned the animal to me if it was lost. So amar avua de Shmuel, he says, b'omer shvua aveda matasi. He says, a shvua, I found it. I didn't know that this cow was yours to return back to you. In all these situations, the reason why it's motive ik is because
I just didn't know
that. Exactly, where he has some taina to it. Okay. Gemara now quotes a braisa, Tanya, Amar ben Azai, Shlosh Shvuos Hain, the three types of Shvuos. So you look at Rashi. Rashi says, we are around halfway down the narrow lines, first word on the line, Shlosh Shvuos Hain. Be'edas aveda sheshbir es ha'ed im re'ises avedasi v'amar lav v'achakar chode. So the guy says, you know, take a shvua if you saw my aveda. Did you see my cow running through the fields at all? And he says, nope, I swear I didn't see it. Then he says, I'm sorry, I really did see it. I need bits to it. So there are three types of shvuos in that case. What are they? Back to the Gemara. So benazei amar shlo shvuos hein. Hikir ba v'lo b'motza. He recognizes the cow, but doesn't recognize the one who found it. It says Rashi, Hikir bav lo b'motza, Haveda shamar shira osa malechas b'rishus acharis. Did you see my cow walking in another rishus? I do recognize that. I recognize that was your cow. Ve'ina yodem mi hu. I didn't know whose it was. Oh, hoda shehikir b'motza. Or the Gemara says, Rath b'motza v'loba. I knew who found it, but I didn't know whose object it was. Or loba v'lo b'motza, says the Gemara. You didn't recognize the object, nor did he recognize the one who found it. Fine. So the Gemara says now, again, Gimel Shvuos Hein, Hikir Bav Lo B'Motza, B'Motza V'Loba, Lo Bav Lo B'Motza. Those are the three permutations. So the Gemara says, Lo Bav Lo B'Motza, Kush Ishtaba. If he took a Shvua, they didn't recognize the animal, nor did he recognize the one who found it, that's actually considered a good Shvua. Why is that considered a good Shvua? Right, so I think the case is he took a shvua that he knew nothing, and then he says, "You know what? I knew that was your object, but I didn't know who found it. Or I knew who found it, but I didn't know who the object was." That makes sense because he knew something. He could have told him, but if he says, "I didn't know the object. I didn't know who found it," so then why is that a shvua sheker? That's a shvua he took a shvua. I don't know anything about the aveda. So Gemara says, "No, Ema, the third shvua should be ba ubimotsa." Says, you're right. I knew that was your cow. I also knew who found it. I'm sorry, I lied. It was a shvua sheker. So those are the three types of shvuos that apply to shvuos edus. So the Gemara now says, l'mai hilch. So what's the relevant halacha in regards to what? So Rami Amar, Rabbi Chanina, liftor. He's pater. What do you mean he's pater? He's pater in all these cases. And Shmu Amar, he's l'chayv. He's chayv in all these cases. Why? Because he's an eid echad here, right? An eid echad is can't accomplish anything. An eid echad can't force a person to pay money. So an eid echad said, I saw one aid that guy had your cow, but what am I going to do? If I don't have another aid with me, that can't accomplish anything. So that's why Rabbi Chanina says, you're potter. But Shmuel says, no, even an eid echad is chayv to pay. Why? So Gemara explains, this machlokas, Rabbi Chanina and Shmuel, is really a machlokas tanai, plugsa dehani tanai. The Sani, the Braisa says, hamashbia Eid echad, pater. What's the case? You make an eid echad, take a shvua, and Rashi says v'kafar, he denies it. V'amar shvua sheini yodei lecha edus. He says a shvua, I don't know anything, and he's pater on the Shuras Eidus, even though he ends up admitting. Says Rashi, look at Rashi, Pater. Pater ha'eid mi karban Shuras Eidus. Right, the lachi is of a person, I should have said before him, there's a karban Shuras Eidus. The Pasuk says in the Torah, the end of Parshat Vayikra, the guy takes a Shura that I don't know any Eidus, and he lies, he has to bring a karban Shura. So the Eid Echad is forced to take a Shura that you don't know any Eidus. He says, I swear I don't know any Eidus. And then he admits to the, he lied. The ha, I have a masid le, lo have a mechayiv. Had he admitted that he known something about this, he wouldn't have been have to pay, because leheach el shvua. Because right, if you say that I know that that guy stole your cow as an Eid Echad, I can't make him pay the cow. An Eid Echad can't do that. The Eid Echad, the most he could do is make that guy take a shvua. Make a shvua that you didn't steal, that that's your animal, but I can't make him pay any money. That's why the guy makes an Eid Echad, makes a shvua sheker, he doesn't pay a carbon. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's mechayev, he thinks a person would be chayev. So what's the machlokas here? Whether Eid Echad is chayev and shvua sheker or not, a carbon shvua sheker. So the Gemara explains, b'mai, kam miflugi, what's the machlokas? Mar savar davar hagorim l'mamon kimamon dami, umar savar lav kimamon dami. Money that can cause a loss, is that considered mamon itself, and the shvua is chal, or it's not considered? What's the davar hagorim l'mamon here? Because now, right, this guy, I say Reuven stole from Shimon, and Reuven, and I'm an Eid Echad only. So Reuven says, okay, I'll make a shvua, I didn't steal. So by me forcing Reuven to make a shvua, and he makes a shvua, let's say he makes a shvua sheker, he now doesn't pay back Shimon what he really should be paying him. So my edus caused that guy to make a shvua to prevent that guy gets a loss now. That's davar hagorim l'mamon, that's enough, considered mamon enough, to make me chayv in the shvua as an Eid Echad. And the other opinion thinks, no, causing an indirect damage is not itself called mamon, and therefore it doesn't result in a chiv karbon on the shvua sheket. Okay. Gemara now says, let's go a little bit further. Amar Rav Sheshesh, Rav Sheshesh says, HaKofer bipikadon naser lav gazlan. A guy was told, I was given an object to watch over for you, and you ask for me to return the object, to watch back to you, and I say, oh, you never gave me anything. So the moment I'm kofer, the moment I deny, that's considered a gazlan. V'chai ba'onzin. So now once you become a gazlan, you're chayv in anything that happens to it. We know as a shomer is pater and onzin. If I'm watching an object and an earthquake comes, a tornado comes and takes away the watch, I'm completely pater. Right? I can expect that to happen. That's onas, I'm pater. But the moment I deny having the shomer and having the pikadon, I become a gazlan. Now I'm responsible for everything, even for a case of onas. The tana tuna, the brisa comes as a support. The pasuk says above the chicheish ba, if you deny having the aveda, lemanu onish. We learn you have to pay. What's the onish? The onish is for shvua sheker, you pay a carbon. So azhar minayim. We know that every time there's an onish in the Torah, there has to be a corresponding azhara. There has to be a warning. So where's the azhara minayim? Where are we warned not to lie? Tamalomer lo sechachshu. Don't deny. So that's the azhara, and the punishment is v'chicheish ba. If you do deny it, you have to bring a carbon. So my lav la'onish mamon. So what's the onish that we're talking about? V'chicheish ba is not referring to the onish of money. What's the shaila here? Aha. So if you look at Rashi, look at the top line in Rashi, the top wide line rather. Rashi says v'chicheish ba lamanu la'onish. We learn the punishment here. Dichsid basrei, after it says v'chicheish ba, it says v'hei shives ha'gzeila, you're supposed to return the gzeila back. Alma, we see kama la b'rishusei, the gzeila becomes in the rishus of the gazlan, mishas v'chicheish, the moment he denies it, ad d'avid hashav, until he does hashav v'zeil oncho. His onish is that he has to ensure that he returns the object back, no matter what happens, even ba'onis. That's his punishment. V'chicheish ba, when he denies it, he now has the most responsibility, more than any other shomer, to return the object, even if it's onus. So then the Gemara says, okay, so isn't the onus my lav la'onish mamon, that he now has a responsibility of paying mamon to the nigzal, no matter what happens, even if it's onus? And we're saying, no, lo, la'onish shvua, his onus is, if he denies having the gzela and the aveda, his onus is that he has to make la'onish shvua. What's onus shvua? So says Rashi, lo la'onish shvua, the reason why the gazlan's chayiv to pay and return the object is not because he denied it, because he was kofir, because he took a shua sheker. When you take a shua sheker, that puts it in your rishus. Then you're really responsible. But if all you do is a kfir ba'alma, that doesn't make you responsible for onshim. Then the Gemara says, ha-midikasani sefer, from the fact that the sefer talks about a case of ishtaba, a case of taking a shua, michlal de resha delo ishtaba, implies that the resha, is a case where there is no shua. And even though there's no shrua, you still have to pay if you're kofer. You have a full responsibility. What's the seifa? The kasani seifa. The seifa teaches us v'nishbal sheker. If the guy takes a shrua sheker, lamadnu onish. We learn that there's a punishment of a karban. Azhara minayin. How do I know if there's an azhara for taking a false shrua? Tamalomer lo sashakru. Don't lie in a shrua. So Gemara learns umidseifa dishaba, from the fact that the seifa of this dra medjish is a shrua. Reisha de lo shava. It must be that Reisha is a case where there is no shvua. So we see that even though there's no shvua, since the guy is kofer bipikadon, he's chayv like he's chayv onsin. To which the Gemara answers, no. Army idi v'idi d'shtabe. Both the Reisha and the Sefer is a case where he took a shvua. Kan shehoda, kan shebo edim. One's a case where he admitted to his shvua, and one's where edim caught him in the act. So asu edim, if the edim kan chayv onsin. He's chayv the onsen now. Now he's fully responsible. But if he's odi odi, if he admits to it, so then he has to chayv karen v'chomesh v'ashim. Then he has to pay back the karen, the addition of chomesh, and the ashim as well. So that's the difference here. Okay, pretty heavy daf. So let's stop here. The continuation of this, but let's stop here, and maybe we'll pick up and try to review a little bit. Emet Hashem tomorrow.